Class is in session. Pick your pencils up, put your phones down, and pay attention. This is Mini Minute Dan, and in this episode, we're doing Graham Hancock's Ancient Apocalypse, episodes 1 and 3.
Okay, let's get this thing off my head right off the gate. Oh, dear Lordy, Lord, Lord. How do you young guys wear that crap? My God. Covers up a bald spot and everything still.
Well, hello and welcome back to Dedunking. Now, in this episode, I'm going to go through and debunk Graham Hancock's episodes 1 and 3 of Ancient Apocalypse. Crazy, huh? Well, I had one of my subscribers point out that, you know, that would be kind of cool for me to go through and show how it should be done. And I've been, you know, lightly critiquing Hancock all the way through, pretty heavily in my first video, but then I slowed down on that as people said that, you know, they prefer more separate critiques, so here we are. Well, I want to tell the other pyramidiots out there, the other lover of Hancock work like myself, this isn't me turning into a big traitor. You, if you're subscribed to me, you know that I like Hancock's work, but there are parts of it that I will critique. Ancient Apocalypse is not my favorite bit of his work, to be honest with you. Quite a lot of it stinks, in my opinion, compared to his older stuff. But it doesn't really give a pass to the way that the debunkers have been handling themselves in this regard. And so I want to do a couple things here. I want to elevate the conversation, basically. I would like to see us pyramidiots get a little bit more science-y. I'd like a little bit less woo and a little bit more grounded ideas. Wishful thinking, probably. Just as much as this other thing is wishful thinking, I would like to see the debunkers actually talk to us instead of at us. I mean, as it is, they're not reaching the majority of us. Now, basically, as I see it, there's four types of people that the debunkers would be targeting. And the first one would be people that are, like, well-versed in science, but they don't know very much about Hancock's work. Or they at least appreciate science a lot, and they don't know much about Hancock's work. These guys are easy for the debunkers to reach through. It's these guys really are, they're sitting ducks for them. And they already are, these are the people that are going, yeah, you go, girl, on all these different videos that I've been responding to. The vast majority of these people are people that, they might have watched Hancock's stuff and said, man, that's pretty compelling, but then they watched the debunker and they were like, ah, F this noise. They hang their hat on the scientific method, non-scientific findings pretty heavily. The next group I would lump myself in, people that believe in science heavily or respect the method or whatever, but also know Hancock's work well. We're not as easy to debunk because we actually know something about where Hancock's coming from. So with Ancient Apocalypse, while it's a pretty bad synopsis overall of Hancock's work, if you know where he's coming from and you've read his other stuff and you've watched Joe Rogan and whatnot, you get an idea of what he's getting at here, and it's not as easily debunked as somebody would think that's just watching it. The next group is probably the hardest nut to crack for you debunkers out there, and that's the people that distrust the scientific community and may or may not know Hancock's work, but there's a good chance in this situation that they will. But they have a very large distrust of the scientific community. They don't necessarily believe in carbon dating or a lot of this stuff. Even dendrochronology might get them to be skeptical. These are hard guys to reach, but we'll talk about some ways that you might be able to do that as we move forward. And the last group, these people are heavily invested on both sides of the fence. These are the people that just weren't with confirmation bias. They've already decided what they believe, and you're not going to change their minds no matter what the information is, no matter what the evidence is. It's already rated in their head according to what side of the fence it falls on. So until these people become more intellectually honest with themselves, you will never reach them, so you may as well not even try. Now, the groups that are not currently being targeted that should be, in my opinion, are the second two groups. Guys like myself that love science, but that also love Hancock's work, at least some of it. And then the people that are very distrustful of science and that are into Hancock stuff. These are the ones that you guys are not reaching barely at all, if at all, right now. Okay, so one of the first things you want to be aware of is those people that love Hancock and whatnot. When you do the personal attack thing, you just lose them completely. So that group that is like super distrustful of science, but they love Graham Hancock, they are, as soon as you start saying, well, he's misleading and he did this wrong and he did that wrong and lied about this, as soon as you go down that road, they tap out, okay? They're done because you're insulting the guy that they had, their personality. You're insulting their celebrity. You don't go tell Britney Spears fans that Britney Spears, oh, sorry, I'm just give you my age. You don't tell Taylor Swift fans that Taylor Swift sucks, right? If you're trying to win the people over, first thing to do is, you know, be a little bit respectful of the fact that, they like Hancock a lot. So you just start going, Hancock sucks. You lost them. They clicked onto it and off the video and they're on to somewhere else now. And to the other group, to people like myself, it also doesn't matter because, well, draw a parallel with evolution. It's like if some creationist says, well, Darwin said blah, 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 and it's like, I don't care. The theory stands on its own with or without Darwin. It's the same kind of thing. It's like, I don't give a shit what Graham Hancock says or does outside of these things. These things are compelling to me. So taking the time to attack Hancock just tells me, myself, that you're not really going to spend very much time addressing his claims, and that's really where I care. So while this, again, will reach that first group of people, you're not going to get to me with it either, so probably best left at home. Tied directly to that, and I'm not sure if this is by chance or by design, but over and over and over again in Ancient Apocalypse, not only does Hancock do those digs at archaeologists, obviously that's by design, but those little digs where he says things that are just like, nobody wakes up one day and decides to, or archaeologists still don't accept that. These things hang you guys up so bad. You cannot leave them alone. And I get it because it's poking at you on an emotional level, but it nails you guys. You just consistently over and over and over again fall for this crap. And you end up attacking him as a personality instead of attacking his arguments or attacking these little word things. He's not a scientist. Don't bother with that. You want to give him credit and benefit of the doubt at times. You do want to point out every now and again, like, he brings out some pretty cool stuff, right? He brings out Nan Madal. He was the first person to get to bring cameras into Karan Tepe. Göbekli Tepe itself is probably way more famous thanks to him than it would be otherwise. Now, you might not like the way that he's made it famous, but he has made these places famous, and you should be given some credit throughout your video a little bit just to keep, again, there's a lot of people that love the guy, man, and you're taking shots at him. You need to keep, wrap that pill in as much sugar as possible, because when you do slip that pill in, you want as many people still watching it as possible. You don't want to take a long time getting to it, just crap it all over him and getting people to click off the video. You know, like I'm taking a long time getting to me doing it right now. Shut up. Speaking of hypocrisy, I should probably also point out that I take a lot more shots at the people that I go for than I think the people that are going after Hancock should. And that's not because I like Hancock. I like a lot of the guys that I go after. The reason that I think that is because, as I've spoken before about a veneer of authority, when somebody comes and they're a scientist or a educational YouTube personality, they don't get taken down and shown to be ignorant or shown to have done something misleading. That doesn't happen to them. That group of people does not, that shit don't happen to them. That YouTube drama stuff, that doesn't attach itself to the science community for a reason. When my point is to show that these guys are doing shit wrong, when I bring them down on the ground, you're damn right I'm going to kick them once. And that's not to be mean as much as it is to show, look where he's at. Has you ever seen anybody do this before? No. I'm going to kick him once too. This is to demonstrate that it doesn't happen anywhere else. These people aren't bad people. They are lazy debunkers in this area. I'll bring up a real quick metaphor for that. Penn Jillette talking to Joe Rogan about Joe Rogan's debate about whether or not the moon landing was fake. The guy that was getting ready to debate Rogan was not getting prepared. He felt like he was going to slam dunk him because it's just some comedian and what's he we're going to talk about? He thinks the moon landing's fake? I mean, what the hell? And Joe Rogan wiped the floor with him because he didn't come prepared because he underestimated his opponent, blah, 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 typical prophet bullshit from Proverbs, right? But seriously, another thing to be careful of is the dating of a site. Just because the archaeology says the site's a certain age doesn't necessarily mean the people on our side are going to buy into that. You need to give reasons for that, as much detail as possible, not just we dug it up and it says X. Sometimes that is all you can say, but if you can tell more than that, you should. And another thing to remember is in certain cases, like those caves at Darren Kuyu, you're not going to be able to date those by the garbage that was left there by the last people that were in there. And so trying to pin that date on it is just going to get mockery from our side of the table. So be aware of that. That might work with people that are just like strictly, yes, this is how archaeology's done. But people that are a little bit more skeptical of that or a little bit more open-minded, however you want to look at it, that isn't going to work. You're going to have to do a little bit better. Now, a big one here is archaeoastronomy. I know a lot of you debunkers are very skeptical of it. A lot of people don't like it. That's nice. If you're going to just piss on it and say, it doesn't even exist kind of thing, you should probably just not address it at all in your video, because we do, almost all of us, accept archaeoastronomy. Okay, so you should probably address it when it comes up. You should probably bone up on it and do a good job addressing it when it comes up, because it's going to be one of the key points, and consistently it's missed. It's the reason that I'm doing episode 3 in this instead of episodes 1 and 2, because it's a good, that Maltese Temple Sirius correlation gives me a chance to talk about archaeoastronomy and give a good example of how I think a debunking should be done. And so without further ado, here's me with a top knot again. Still pretty sexy though, huh? We're going to be talking about Ancient Apocalypse Episode 1 and Episode 3 in this. And to start with, I want to point out that in both of these, we see Graham Hancock fall prey to one of his biggest shortcomings, in my opinion. He's so quick to take on new information that supports his opinion that he frequently doesn't check it very well and kind of gets bamboozled by people who have less than scrupulous motives, if you know what I mean. And first, Hancock takes us to Gunung Padang. And Gunung Padang is a site in Indonesia that dates to around 2,000 years ago, according to mainstream archaeology. Like Hancock says, it's built out of Kalmar basalt. And also, like he says, it was a long time that it wasn't noticed by the archaeologists that were running around on that island, for about 100 years. And one of the reasons for that may well be that the indigenous people believed that evil spirits were attached to the megalithic pre-temple era construction, so they were probably not too keen on letting the archaeologists know that this was a site, so they probably helped obfuscate it and hide it. And when you first look at it, it may or may not look like a site depending on what angle you take it on at. Now, despite it only being dated to about 2,000 years ago, Graham is able to find somebody, Dr. Nadi Wajaja, who's a geologist who's done a lot of work there, who came up with much older dates, as far back as 22,000 years ago is when he asserts the first construction was done. Frustratingly, Dr. Nadi Wajaja has not published his findings, or they're not available. Maybe they didn't pass through peer review. I guess that's possible. And the only thing we do have is this poster, and it's not very detailed, which is a little frustrating because it doesn't really let us look too deep into this. What we do have is another doctor that Graham brings out, his Dr. Akbar, and he claims that there are some cultural layers that go back to about 7,000 years ago, but those are not associated with the construction of the site, according to Akbar. You have to go to Nadi Wajaja's claims in order to tie the two together and find people going back further than 2,000 years for the construction of the site. So in that regard, it seems to me like this isn't very good evidence, because we can't really go back any further than the 2,000 years for the construction as far as the mainstream science goes. I mean, we can always go outside of mainstream science, but with the dating and whatnot that we have doesn't really take us any further back than that until Dr. Nadi Wajaja publishes his findings, which, if he happens to watch this, I would very much encourage him to do, because there's quite a few of us would like to see that. Another thing Dr. Nadi Wajaja discusses is the potential for chambers inside of Gunung Padang. And like many others have pointed out, these are most likely lava tubes. But if he's accurate, and when he says that they're in alignment with the site, it still would fall in line with Hancock's overlying hypothesis of them building these megalithic sites on world navels, or very old sacred sites, to an area. So that would still make sense. The problem is that we don't have anything that goes back further than that 2,000 years as far as construction era datable materials. The stuff that we have that goes back 7,000 years, there's no sign of construction at that time, even according to Dr. Akbar. And one of the things that's worth pointing out here is both of these doctors, Akbar and Nadi Wajaja, are Atlantis hunters. Both of them, like Graham Hancock, believe there's a lost advanced civilization and all of that. So it's not unbelievable that they would kind of lean towards the older dating of the thing, especially the 22,000 years. That's a little bit odd, when normally Hancock's stuff usually goes back to that 10,500 BC, right? But in this case, it's all the way back to 22,000. Well, thing is, this is kind of a matter of nationalism and cultural pride down there. Maybe even has a little bit to do with tourism. Ultimately, I'm not really sure, but there is a paper that I'll link in the description below that discusses the problems that it's causing with archaeology in the area, in Indonesia, specifically because they're trying to pin Atlantis onto Indonesia. So While Graham Hancock frequently points out that archaeologists are fallible and that they make mistakes or they have emotional or other attachments to things that make them slow to accept ideas that oppose their existing paradigms, and this is a perfect example of that, in this case it actually plays into his hands because these guys are perfectly willing to go towards further back dates than most other archaeologists would. I would point out that in that environment, there's a really good chance that Nadi Wajaja did try to publish his findings and they were still rejected. On the show Ancient Apocalypse, he does claim that the archaeologists won't accept these findings. So Ganong Padang, while being an interesting site, I find kind of impossible to link back any further than a couple thousand years. Even if you take it all the way back to 7,000 years ago, we still aren't into the realm of 12,500 years ago, 10,500 BC, Younger Dryas. We're not in there yet. So it's still, I don't find that very compelling evidence for Hancock's hypothesis. Next place he goes in episode one is Namadol. Namadol's really interesting site. It's really cool. It's also made out of columnar basalt. And he uses the similar construction methods to tie the two areas together. Are these both, you know, the same type of builders since they're both using columnar basalt? And while Occam's razor would say most likely they're just using what's on hand. I mean, columnar basalt is nice, you know, it's fairly uniformly shaped out the gate. So all you got to do is cut it a little bit and you have these nice Lincoln log building materials. I mean, you know, Namadol looks like Lincoln log construction if you think about it. But as Hancock says, Namadol isn't really that old ultimately, like 900 AD or so. But there are pillars off the coast that are much older supposedly, but Hancock dove on them and he shows them and stuff, and they are pretty interesting, and there's a lot of local myths about sunken cities off of the edge of a couple of them, as a matter of fact. But those pillars are made out of coral, at least the ones they've dug up. They dug up one and looked at it, and they've taken samples off a few other ones, and they all seem to be made out of coral, which would undermine the columnar basalt tying these two sites together. It's not really tied together by columnar basalt if the old places are made by coral. So I don't find Namadol very compelling evidence either. Now they may have like tiny little smidgens of fingerprints of the gods if you want to go that route with it, but I don't think that there's any compelling evidence to put these any further back than they're dated currently by mainstream archaeology. Now in episode 3, Hancock takes us to Malta, and the first thing we discuss are these Neanderthal teeth that seem to have been getting a lot of pushback on the dating over the last 100 years. A lot of pushback, it seems. As a matter of fact, a private citizen had to go and do it himself. What's more weird is that we've seen some pushback since then from people in the Maltese archaeological community pushing back against the dating of these teeth, which is a little bit odd. It seems to me that we have another case of this nationalism slash tourism thing going on because they don't want to admit what the archaeology has bore out, that the current Maltese population is not the same population that built the megalithic temples there. Matter of cultural pride, also probably a matter of a little bit of a tourism, right? Anyway, the pushback against those teeth, once again, does reinforce Hancock's position that sometimes archaeologists, well, they're just people, right? We all make mistakes. But it doesn't really support his point a whole lot, because just knowing that Neanderthals were on Malta back in those days doesn't really tell us a whole lot about the building of Gigante or any of these other temples. It does show that, like I said, that there are some problems with the archaeology on this island. So in that regard, you have to give him a point here. He is pointing out the gate that this stuff's a little suspect. Now, he talks about the cart ruts a little bit, and the cart ruts are cool. He talks about some that he found that were like 25 meters out in the sea. A little bit hard to do anything when he doesn't tell us, you know, any sort of location. In this day and age, Mr. Hancock, give us a GPS location so that we can have other people go take a look. Come on, man. Simple. At any rate, without that, I can't conclude anything one way or the other. Now, the meat of the episode on Malta is brought up by Lenny Rijik, and she claims that each of the giant temples on Malta were built to face the star Sirius, and that as precession of the equinoxes would slowly make the alignment no longer work, they would have to build a new temple. Now, she claims this work is her own, and in regards to pointing at Sirius, well, yes, it would be her own work, but in reality, this work is much, much older. In 1992, prominent archaeoastronomer Dr. Michael Hoskin and two other archaeoastronomers did their own work at Malta, and they published a paper, which is available, and I'll link down below. In this paper, they propose that these temples were built over and over again over time to align with the star. But they don't propose it to be Sirius. They propose it to be Gamma Crucis, which is a star in Crux, or the Southern Cross, as it's more commonly known. And while we have no evidence that Crux was used as a navigationary constellation in ancient times, we know for certain that it was used a ton in the Age of Exploration because it is a pretty reliable constellation for navigation. So there's a very good chance that the people on this island were using that constellation to navigate by. It's borne out by other experience from other people in more recent times, but also it lines up better with the archaeology. In Gigantea, they've actually excavated kind of underneath some of the rocks, and they found datable material that doesn't go back nearly as far as it would have to in order to support Lenny Rijik's claim. So I think she kind of pulled the wool over Hancock's eyes, pretending that, you know, this is her work when it's obviously not her work. Obviously, she just took somebody else's work and changed, like, somebody else did all the answers and all she did was basically change the date. And because there's a handful of stars that could possibly be lined up with these temples. There's a few candidates based on the dating, but she takes it to Sirius. The professionals take it to Crux. I tend to lean towards Crux also for the reasons I mentioned. It's better for navigation, and this is an island, and it also lines up better with the datable material. That doesn't necessarily mean that I'm right and that Rijik is wrong. However, the way that she has kind of hijacked this work and claimed it as her own does make me a little skeptical of her scruples. And now, while the points I just brought up against episodes 1 and 3 of Ancient Apocalypse do not undermine Hancock's overall premise in and of itself, they definitely undermine these sites, in my opinion, as good evidence for his hypothesis. In my opinion, if he wants to support his hypothesis, he's going to need to be pickier about the people that he gets his information from and quit just jumping on board with the first person that says, I think I see Atlantis over here, because he keeps falling prey to being just misled just a little bit. In episode 2, he even brings on this Hans Gruber guy that I don't even want to remember his name because the guy's so messed up. And there's no way that Hancock would hang out with this guy in the real world, knowing what you know about Hancock's personality and personal life and this guy. But this guy has some information that supports Hancock's hypothesis. So let's go. Let's hang out together, Mr. Gruber. So that's one of the problems, that, in my opinion, that you will find with him over and over again throughout this series. But I hope this helped you make up your own mind on these things, and if you have any questions, put them in the comments below. All right, well, thank you very much for watching the whole thing. I hope you learned something from this, and I hope that those of you who recognize that I am a Graham Hancock fan don't feel like I just turned into Benedict Arnold here or whatever. I'm still just Dan, just making the same old videos like I have been. It's just, this one's got a little bit of a different flavor. Watch my first video and you'll see I've been doing this since day one. Thank you very much. Don't forget to like and subscribe. Click the social media links down below. Yadda yadda yadda. Have a good evening. See you next time.